The Revelation of John, the End of the Age of Mortal Man.
I've got two passages of scripture I want us to turn to this morning, 2 Peter chapter 3 and Luke 17. If you've got a Bible app on your phone or your tablet or you brought your Bible, go ahead and turn to 2 Peter 3 now. And hold it there. We will also have the scriptures on the screen. If you didn't bring a Bible or you don't have a Bible app, that's cool. Okay, I'm closing out a series that we've been doing for about 15 weeks now on the book of Revelation. I've called it The Revelation to John, the End of the Age of Mortal Man. All the messages are online. You can go online or grab the app and listen to them, and I challenge you to do that. But these last couple of messages, they're not really from Revelation. They correspond to the themes of Revelation about the end times, the last days, the Lord Jesus Christ coming again, and the end of the age of mortal man. And so this message, it's a correlation as well. And Megan, my wife, she listened to a message by a pastor by the name of Jimmy Evans online. And it was a message about this concurrent theme of Revelation, and she was so impressed and told me that this message fits right in line with our Revelation series. And she said, I had to listen to the message. Now, if you're a married man and your wife says, you have to do something, what are you going to do? Yeah, you better do it, you know. So guess what I did? I listened to that one as well as another message in his series on this, and I was so impressed, okay? I was so impressed by what he was saying, and it does fit right in with the closing of this series, okay? And I normally don't take this approach in my ministry, but I'm borrowing excerpts from Pastor Jimmy Evans' message and some of that content and doing this to bring it to you, okay? And pastors do that because it's so good. Everyone say it's so good. Give somebody a high five and say it's awesome, all right? Look, if you've ever studied the Bible, okay? If you've ever studied the Bible or studied what's called biblical prophecy, and we've been talking about the end times, the last days in the book of Revelation, the end of the age of mortal man, but when you start hearing that, and you start talking about that or studying about that or hearing people talk about that, there's a question that pops in everyone's mind. Are we really living in the last days? Are we really living? And we think about that. We'll question to ourselves, man, I've been hearing all this stuff. Are these really the last days? How can I know? Is this the last days? Are we in the last times? Well, guys, that's what I'm going to speak about this morning. And by the end of it, you will see a definitive answer emerge for that question. And I know what you may be saying this morning. Oh, my goodness. Not another message about Jesus coming. Oh, you know, listen. Yes, another message about Jesus coming. Why? Because that is our hope. That's our assurance. That's what we have to look forward to. This old junky world that we're living in, it's not our final destination. Man, you guys are quiet this morning. The 76, the 50 that were in early, man, they were raising the roof. Not really. Some were sleeping, I think, because it was the early service. But that's okay. I spoke anyway. Jesus is coming. That's what gives us hope, right? Well, Greg, I've heard all of this stuff before. Yada, yada, yada. Oh, my grandma. Oh, my parents. I've heard it all my life. So have I. I have too. But hearing that does not make the statement that we are living in the end times illegit, okay? I do believe we are right on the edge of the history about to change. Jesus is coming, and God's going to usher in his plan for the end time events. And this morning I want to share with you two topics that the Word of God tells us that we can use as a barometer or a metric or a guide to show how close we really are to the end times. And those two words and topics are time and morality, okay? And when you use these two metrics and what the Word of God says about them in the end of time, there can be no denying. Everyone say no denying. Say it again. That we're so very close. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. The first barometer or metric is time. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4 and then 8 through 10. The Apostle Peter writes, knowing this verse, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They're going to make fun of the end time message. They're going to make fun of people saying Jesus is coming, that we're living in the end time. Where is Jesus? He's not coming around. I've heard it all my life. What's going on? You're fake. Scoffers and mockers. Is that going on today? Okay. Verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. Here's the key. But is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, everyone say day of the Lord, will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. A quick side note here now. Guess what? We hear this passage, even Jesus talks about coming as a thief in the night. That's not for believers. He's not coming as a thief in the night as believers. Why? Because we're to be watching and waiting and looking and anticipating. The thief in the night is for the unbeliever. I heard that hallelujah. Yes, all right. The Apostle Peter is talking about the coming of the Lord, okay? And look what he mentions in verse 8. Many of you can quote this. You've used it over and over again. He says, don't forget this one thing. One thing with the Lord. Say it with me. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as what? One day. Why would he say that? He's taken this from Psalm 94, where the psalmist writes that as well. So he's kind of quoting the Old Testament. Why would he say that? Because in the last days, there would be scoffers, people mocking Jesus' return, okay? Much like what we hear today. But Peter tells his readers not to forget this element of time. To the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and vice versa. 1,000 years is like one day. Why did he write that? Because his readers knew something. They knew something about what he just said in this time frame that would help them in their understanding and bring them comfort. Why? Here's why. God has always had a master calendar and a master clock. God, from the very beginning, determined how much time specifically would be allotted for human history. God's not up in heaven right now going, okay, let's see, half past after eternity. And let's see, Jesus, hold on, I don't know. Let's just let them do this over here, and then maybe you can come. Let's just give it a few more months, a few more millennium, a few more centuries. No, guys. It's set. It is set. God's master clock and his master calendar, it's been predetermined, it's set, and God is going to stick to it, and it does not change. The Apostle Peter here, what he's doing, he is giving everyone God's definition of time. One day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is just like one day. This is God's very view of time, and it's very significant. And come to find out, the Jewish people and their Orthodox teachers and leaders, as well as many church historians and fathers, they all believed in a thing called God's 7,000-year calendar. Tell somebody 7,000 years. That's God's calendar. That from Adam to Eve to the end of the millennial reign of Christ would be 7,000 years, okay? And there's many that believe, and just go home and Google 7,000-year calendar or 7,000 calendar years of God. Many believe and teach that the creation account in Genesis chapter 1 showcases this and parallels this. Anybody intrigued? Told you to be very intrigued. Hang with me. Look what God states in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10. It'll be up front or on the screens. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's no other. I am God and there's none like me. Here we go. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things not yet done. Do you hear that? God declaring the end from the beginning. He says he declares the end from the beginning. So the beginning tells the end. Genesis chapter 1 is the creation account. What is that? It is the beginning of all things. Genesis chapter 1. And many Jewish scholars and the like, church historians, fathers, have believed and they taught that each of the 7 day days of creation correspond to 7 1,000-year periods of human history. 7 days of creation, 7,000 years. So that from the very beginning, God was saying there's going to be 6,000 years of human history, okay, followed by 1,000 years of the millennial reign of Christ. Now, a month ago, I did a very detailed message about the millennial reign of Christ. If you don't know about that, I encourage you to go listen to that, okay, because it's very educational. 6 days God created the earth, right? What did he do on the seventh? So 6,000 years of human history followed by the 7,000, the millennial reign of Christ, where Christ comes down and he rules and reigns with us who've gone with him, and he reigns over humanity on the earth, okay? And look at this. If the apostles believe this 7-day, 7,000-year time frame for the world, perhaps that would make it very understandable. Like when you read the New Testament, you'll see that the apostles, they would write and they would refer to them living in the last days over and over and over again. And sometimes us now, we look at that and go, how can they say that? How can they say they were living in the last days? Well, again, Jewish teachers have been teaching this for a long time. If you look at a 7-day parallel calendar to 7,000 years, it'd be very easy for them to say they're living in the end times. Why? Because they would be on day 5 out of 7. And the 7 is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It'd be very easy to say, hey, take heart. Look, Jesus is coming. Because they had this 7,000-year framework in mind. And they were living, like, you know, according to this, right around 5,000 to the edge of 6,000. It's very interesting. So the first 7 days of creation seem to be very important and significant, okay? It can be given as a time frame for the world. God has designed from the beginning that there would be 6,000 years of human activity followed by 1,000 years of humans reigning with Christ. Let's look at some calendars for more reference, okay? Hang with me. Will you hang with me? If we are living according, you know, in the end times, according to God's calendar, where should we be? We should be then somewhere near the year 6,000, correct? Let's look at our Gregorian calendar. Where are we right now? AD? Yes, 2000. Everybody say we're in 2015 right now, just so everybody understands. I know some of you might be living in the past. I remember the good old days in 1945. No, we're in 2015 right now. All right, no offense. And this is AD. 2015 AD, this is after Jesus came, okay? That's when, you know, the Gregorian calendar and Julian calendar, it's Jesus changed from BC to AD. So how many years, you ask, were there before Christ came on the scene? Look, the Jewish scribes were very voracious in jotting down history. That was their whole purpose, jotting down history to a T. I mean, that was their life's purpose. They want to get everything correct, and they would pass them on. You know what they were especially perfect in? Genealogies. They had to get those right. In Genesis chapter 5 and 11, we find two genealogies, and they provide the dates where Adam and his descendants fathered the next generation all the way up to Abraham. And when Abraham and his descendants are fit in and the ages are examined, we can see that the Bible teaches that the earth is, guess how old? 6,000 years, all right? In Luke 3, we find a genealogical record from Adam straight to Jesus, the start of the AD. And many believe and teach that there's 4,000 years from Adam to Jesus Christ as represented in Luke chapter 3. So let's do some math. It's not my best subject, I'll be honest with you. But look, if you take 4,000 years plus, now we're at like 2015, 4,000 plus 2,000 is what? Good job, you guys. Give yourself a pat on the back, all right? 6,000. Well, Greg, I believe the earth is millions and billions of years old, and they've done carbon dating. Listen, there's all kinds of scientific fact to debunk all that stuff. I don't have time to go into that, but carbon dating and all that, there's a lot of young earth creationists, young earth scientists, just as many that believe in that. You know, if you want to talk about that with me later, I can. I wish I had more time to go into that, but I don't, okay? But let's look at another calendar, the Jewish civil calendar. There's no BC or AD in that. It's just straight years. Year 1 to keep on going. Guess where we are in the Jewish civil calendar today? Somewhere around the year 5775. That's close. And there is a group of Messianic Jews, okay, who were unhappy. There was some disagreement with the civil calendar, so they started a religious calendar. And there's a group of Messianic Jews that they wanted to know exactly where we were, specifically on God's 7,000-year calendar. You can read all this on TorahCalendar.com. It'll show you the date. It'll show you all that kind of stuff, tell you about it. But they've done exhaustive research to find out where we are since creation. They've researched all of Scripture, all of history, all of science, all of astronomy. You know, NASA holds the lunar calendar. They know for thousands of years what's been going on and the dates because of the moon cycles. They've studied all this stuff. They've done all their exhaustive research. Guess where we are, according to them, after all of their research on this Jewish calendar? Month 7 of the year 6001. And these guys are intense. They really want to know. It's their whole purpose to find out where we are on God's calendar. Do you guys understand what this means? If there's 7,000 years and 1,000 is devoted to Jesus Christ reigning and ruling, and we're right at the edge of 6,000, we are close. That's the time metric barometer, and it's closer than we can even imagine. We're very close to our King coming back, amen? Let's look at another measure real quick, morality. Turn to Luke 17. I spoke on this chapter last week. If you're here, hopefully you'll remember. Remember Lot's wife, everyone? Luke 17. Jesus says, and again, guys, listen. I didn't write the Bible. God did, okay? Okay, we keep going. All right. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, bought, sold, planted, built. But on the day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus is saying, if you want a good metric, look at the morality of the days of Noah and the days of Lot. On those days when Noah was put in the ark for safety and deliverance, and when Lot was rescued out of Sodom, those days in the culture and society were bad, horrible, wicked, rebellious, and immoral. I mean, immorality was running at warp speed, Mr. Sulu. I mean, it was all over the place, hyperdrive. And you might be saying this morning, Greg, there's been immoral people and immorality throughout ages. And yes, there has been times and people groups that have displayed gross immorality. But you have to agree with me that there has never been a time when, as a whole, people know right from wrong, but they totally disregard it, they reject it, they shun it, they even mock it. We've never seen a time like this. People have no regard for morality anymore. I want to talk about some of these things. You know, Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 through 13 shows the time of Noah. Look at this, the Amplified. It says, the earth was depraved and putrid in God's sight, and the land was filled with violence, desecration, infringement, outrage, assault, and lust for power. The Hebrew word here for corrupt means to spoil, ruin, mar, destroy. Everything had become so bad, had been marred from God's original purposes for man. It was just so off course. God said, I've got to destroy everything and everybody because it's corrupt. It's ruined. And we see in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, we see our boy Lot's surroundings and his culture. The Apostle Peter talks about it. He says, Lot was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. He was a righteous man, and he was tormented in his soul all the time by the wickedness around him. Here's what's going on in the people of Lot's day. You can find it in Genesis 19. God sent two angels to go get his family and tell them to leave the wicked city of Sodom. The men, all the men, young and old of that city, saw these two strangers coming in. And guess what they did? They came and were barging. Lot, open up. You throw those two men out here. We want to play a good game of Texas Hold'em with them. Wrong. No. They said, we want to know them. The Hebrew there, yada, it means to know them in a spiritual way. Lot, bring those men out here. We want to have our way with them. Lot says, no, these are my guests. Please don't do this disrespectful thing. Here's my two young virgin daughters. They've never known a man. Here. They push the girls out of the side and say, no, we want those men. All of them. The Bible says all the men, young and old. Yuck, right? Well, God brought total destruction on those cities, and they're gone. God wiped them off the face of the earth. God saw these two cultures and groups of people, and they were so bad and so wicked and so gross and so immoral that God sent total destruction on their way. The world was destroyed by a flood. Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone, rained down upon them. They all melted like a candle wax thingy. Okay? And Jesus says here in the last days, men would be like this. And God's answer to this decrepit world will be the same. Worldwide destruction and God's judgment. And according to the parallel that Jesus made in Luke, this destruction and judgment will be coming very soon. I've spent 15 weeks talking about God's wrath and through the book of Revelation, and everything is a wake-up call saying, turn to me. And people still turn away from God. Are people living like that today? Yes. Before I close this morning, I want to hit a prophecy by the Apostle Paul to a young pastor by the name Timothy. And Paul he gives a prophecy about what kind of people will be on the earth in the last days. It'll be on the screen, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But know this, Timothy, check this out. Pay attention to this. In the last days, perilous or dangerous times will come. Why? Because men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. They're going to harm you. They're going to do you wrong, Timothy. Well, you sure don't want to list these character traits on a resume, would you? You'd get the voice of Donald Trump. You're not hired. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't even give you a glance. You know what I'm saying? The Apostle Paul gives 19 horrible character traits of how people are going to be in the last days. And this list is talking about a complete destruction and annihilation of morality in the world. Is this how the world is today? Yes, 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 yes. We see the walls of morality crumbling and crumbling ever before us. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. And I know that people have lived immoral lives for centuries, but it's never been like today. Look, people weren't like this when I was a wee lad. You know what I'm saying? And if you're 15 or 30 years older than me, you know it's a complete opposite world from when you grew up in. The world that I grew up in, I'm 43. I feel like I'm right at the edge of that world. I got a little bit of young in me and a little bit of old, and that's okay. I'm a kind of a middle guy. You know what I mean? It was literally so different. And the world that my daughters, Tatum and Kyler and Tegan, are growing up in today, it's so different. All you young people, it's so different radically, completely than what we grew up in. Let me show you how much it's changed. Back when we grew up, people respected authority, right? People weren't sued over every little thing, right? When I was in school, we would have moments of silence every morning. And we could bow our head and pray if we wanted to. How many of you grew up where you actually said prayers in school every day along with the Pledge of Allegiance? Dude, you can't do that today, can you? When I got home, I would hit the door, say, hi, Mom, bye, Mom, and I would stay out all night till dark, and then I would crawl in filthy from head to toe after playing all kinds of sports, crawling through, playing army and military and, I don't know, astronauts, and then I was ready for dinner, okay? Today, I don't let my kids out of my sight unless they have a cell phone or they know where they're going. Why? Because we don't know what's around the corner. Weirdos, pedophiles, we don't know. So we have to watch our kids, okay? You know, back then you could go to movies or a mall without the fear of some crazed lunatic coming and trying to kill everybody. You could send your kids to school knowing that they're going to be safe there, that school is a safe place. Look, when I was in high school, I carried my Bible to every single class. If I did that today, I'd probably be kicked out. Am I right or right? Growing up, man, here's how much we've changed. I remember one of the first TVs we had three channels. ABC, CBS, NBC, and a public access channel if you found the knob with like 50 channels and you had, thank you for reminding me, Amy, that fine-tune knob, and you had to kind of fine-tune it in there. We had two knobs on our TV, no remote control. We had to manually, guys, literally, we had to go up to our TVs and toot-toot-toot-toot-toot-toot. And if it didn't come, we'd have to fine-tune, and there's these antennas. We'd have to, you hold it right there, and somebody would have to hold it the whole time so the TV would be in. Am I right or am I right? They have no clue what I'm talking about. And I was going to say, it's in my notes right here. And at about midnight or 10 o'clock, every channel went off. And there was, remember that the Native American, he cried over the litter and it played America the Beautiful, or it just had these color bars and all night long went beep till like 6 in the morning. And then it would be like, God bless America, or some patriotic song. Our first cable box in the 80s was like this wide. It had 50 channels, and you had a slider. You had to literally go up to the TV and slide it. Our first satellite dish, it was this metal monstrosity that my dad bought. It took up half the backyard. The remote was as big as his keyboard, and I had to tell you, Galaxy 3, Galaxy 5, okay? Here's how it's changed. This is just 15 years. Now our kids can get on their tablets and phones and stream all kind of content that they don't need to see, or you adults as well, 24/7. They have access to all kinds of junk at the touch of an app. You know, it was all fun saying that, but man, that's how much we've changed. And it's sad. I just spanned 10, 15 years. We used to live in a Christian society where it seemed everyone went to church. Everyone respected, at least they respected the Bible. At least they respected, you know, religion and religiosity, okay? And that was a Christian society. Guess what our society is called now? Post-Christian. That means it's a post-Christian society, a society after these Christian virtues and morals and things like that. People are becoming more and more immoral every day. And immorality doesn't just have a sexual connotation to it. We're talking about people's character when we're talking about being immoral. And when someone becomes immoral, it just eats up every fiber of their life, and they will hurt you, use you, and wound you. Do you know what the purpose of morals and morality is? Morals and morality are there to protect you and to protect each other. If I'm a moral person, I care about you. I'm not going to drag you down. I'm not going to demean your character. I'm not going to lie about you. I'm not going to cheat from you. I'm not going to steal from you. I'm not going to backstab you. I'm not going to try to seduce your wife. I'm not going to try to cheat on you or with your spouse. I'm going to do things right. I'm not going to hurt you. You're safe around moral people, but not so immoral. Immorality hurts and it wounds and it devastates. That's why God opposes and cannot stand immorality, because it goes smack against his character. And Paul tells Timothy, in the last days, dangerous times will come. Why? Because the people will become more and more immoral. They will lose all restraints of morality and they'll become dangerous. Are we living in that time? 100% yes. People are killing people for all kinds of silly reasons. Spouses performing murder suicides on the entire family. Drugs on a high rampage. Violence everywhere. Kids and children being harmed. I could continue, but just watch a Dateline 2020 on Friday night and you'll see, or the news every night. Look it up and you'll see gross immorality everywhere. And it's never been like this on this planet before. Ever. I just showed you how different it's been. There has been people that were immoral, but never a society as a whole just 10 years ago. Write these down if you've got a pad or pen or paper, because we can break down Paul's 19 immoral traits that are listed into four categories. and parallel with them today. I'm almost done. All those 19 things, we can break them down to four categories. Number one, in the last days, people, there will be a lot of exaltation of self and narcissism. Man, back in the day in sports, you know the quarterback went, touchdown. Good job. High five. Good job. You did your job. I even heard a story of back in the day of the Dallas Cowboys. There's a guy named Hollywood Henderson. After this one play, he did a flip, and the coach, Tom Landry, benched him for celebrating too much. You know, and this is not bad, but this is just to show the extreme of what is sports today? Touchdown. I catch it. Whoa! You know, look at me. Check this out. High five. And you do all kinds of crazy dances and stuff like that. All these celebrations, all kinds of stuff. Why? Because it's all about me. Look at me. How can I promote me? How can I showcase me? Am I right? Yes. Everything everybody does anymore today is all about them first. That's self-exaltation and narcissism. We're seeing all kinds of shootings and murder, suicides. Why? For people's 10 minutes of fame. People are leaving families. Why? For simple pleasures and selfish nonsense. The second category is a rejection of authority. Now, I'm not going to get into the positives and negatives of what's going on in our society right now and why or why not, but police really are being disrespected and targeted like never before. Am I right? I can't even imagine being a teacher in our schools. If you're a teacher, raise your hand. Many of you are. I can't even imagine it. And I'm sure you guys see the disrespect of authority all day, all the time. I heard a story of this one kid. He got in trouble by the teacher, and he threatened, I'm going to go home, I'm going to get my gun, I'm going to kill you. So they expelled the kid, and as they were walking them out, here's the mom waiting there. What do you think she says? She goes, well, if you guys wouldn't make my son so mad, he wouldn't threaten to go get his gun against you guys. That's what we're living in, gang. And we go, this is crazy. It's prophesied. People are openly mocking religious authority. Kids are learning to disrespect their parents more and more through all kinds of avenues and venues. The third category is the rejection of moral standards. They despise good, though the world mocks people trying to do good. Look even how in our own pop culture, if someone comes out and says, I'm going to be a virgin, I'm going to stay pure till I'm married, I'm a pop star, they are vilified. They're ridiculed. Young people in here, and if you're single, listen, you stand for purity and wait till marriage. We need more young people that will take that stand, right, adults, church? But look, if you try to do good, you're looked at as weird and not normal. You may face persecution. There's a world right now where it's anything goes, no matter what someone thinks, no matter what someone says. Right now we're living in a world where they say, don't tell me how to live my life. Don't push your religion upon me. This is a day when we've got all kinds of sexual identification, including a new one called pansexuality. And that's where you're attracted, not just to male or female or both. You're attracted to it all. No matter the gender, no matter the sex, it don't matter. You're just attracted to it all. I heard of a story recently, I've got to hurry. This young boy was attracted to fantasy, he was into fantasy porn, and he was suicidal because he couldn't find fulfillment. He had fallen in love with all these fantasy things, and he couldn't fulfill that. Dude, that's what we're living in. This ain't Grandma and Grandpa's Buick that we're driving anymore. The world is corrupt, and it's growing so fast, growing more corrupt so fast. Me and Megan were just watching a Dr. Phil. I was bonding with her. I was sacrificing my time to watch Dr. Phil. It's so important to her. And I was like, I will sacrifice for you, babe. I will put you first. I will. All right, let's keep going. But it was all about these transgender soldiers and the one, and how he was married. This guy was married. His wife was looking right across from him, and he's, you know, dressed, and his father figure, uncle was there, and he literally, and they are killing them. They are hurting, hearts breaking, and he's like, I really don't care what you think. I'm going to do what's good for me. I'm going to live how I want to live. and it's rough. We're living there. And the last one, and I'm bringing this down, we can group these in as disloyal, unloving, and vicious. People want to destroy each other. They'll destroy each other on social media. I love Ben Talley there this last week. He's like, we were talking about something. He goes, that's one more reason why I'm never getting to Facebook. I can't even remember what it was, but because there's so much junk, right? So much drama, so much silliness, so much idiocy. You know, back in the 30s and 40s, how many of you might remember President Franklin Delano Roosevelt? Nobody? A few of you? Okay. Wow. You guys are young. You're a young crowd. Good for you. Just kidding. Most of America at the time didn't know that he was kind of crippled, and he couldn't walk, and he couldn't stand. He had polio. The media found out about this, but they didn't tell anybody. Matter of fact, they would go to extra efforts to stage photo shoots and set things up to make him look very strong. The media didn't want the American people to know the president was in a weakened physical state. Would that happen today? Oh, my goodness. They find one little silly thing and do that will destroy somebody. How many times have we heard of a high school student or a college student who has taken their own life because of bullying or something that's been said against them or on social media? All this bullying that we hear in our high schools and elementary schools. Guys, it's terrible. Disloyal. What's the divorce rate today? It's high. But what's sad is it's even higher in the church, right? People are vicious, road rage, shooting people for nothing. They get mad at work. They come back and shoot you. It's crazy. Chris, you want to come up? The world has changed. And it's at an escalating pace. I just showed you an example of just 10 to 20 years, how fast things have changed. And they're changing like this. They're changing like this. What is this a sign of, gang? The last days. How do you know, Greg? Because it's in God's word. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Don't even get me started about that last bit, denying its power, or having a form of godliness. In American church, we got people all over going to church thinking they're okay, they're doing good. But they don't know the power of Jesus Christ. Greg, why a message like this? That's intense. I thought that today was friend day. Here's a message why. So you'll be ready. So you'll be watching and praying like Jesus says to do in Luke chapter 21, verse 36. So that you won't fall asleep spiritually. You'll be looking. So like we talked about last week when Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. You'll let go of the world, our idols and junk. And you won't look back when Jesus comes calling. Your heart won't be here. Your heart will be with Jesus Christ. A message like this, so that as Jesus says in Luke 21, verse 34, 35, watch out. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness. And here we go. And by the worries of this life. We could say the busyness of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap. For that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Listen, Jesus is coming. And I know you may be sitting there. That some of you may say, I don't believe it. I don't believe anything you said. And you've already dismissed it. That's okay. And here's why I say that. You can think what you want. It doesn't change God's word. God's word is true, and what God has said, it's going to come to fulfillment. The word of God says, let God be true and every man a liar. Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. Listen, God's word is going to happen because God is faithful. And when he says that Jesus is coming, he's coming. We have to be ready. We've been given barometers and metrics to show where and when we're living in. I got to hurry. Jesus even chided the religious leaders. He said, you guys see when a natural storm's coming and you can prepare for it. But matters of spirituality, forget about it. You guys don't even see the Son of Man sitting in front of you, the Son of God right there in front of you. Jesus said we can be looking and waiting and praying and watching, and we can recognize the sign. Listen, time is here. We're there. We're there. Again, I challenge you, go online. Especially for the Jewish nation, the Jewish Orthodox teachers and rabbis. Man, many of them believe we're right there. And morality, it's over the top. Why a message like this? Because it's time to get serious with the Lord now. It's time to get committed now. Not play church games. Not play games of religiosity, okay? But to put your trust in Jesus and to live for Him. Perfectly? No way. I don't even live perfectly. Pastor Chris, maybe. On Mondays and Fridays. No. We all need grace. Guys, give me one more minute. Jesus came. He didn't have to. He left the throne of heaven. He emptied Himself on a cross. Because I sinned. Because I messed up. And He paid my price. And He was put in a grave. In 3 days, He rose again. And He said before He sent it, I'm coming back. Live for Me and be ready. Can we bow our heads? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your heart to Jesus. I've got to give you a chance. Because that's the most important decision you'll ever make in life. I'm not going to call anybody up forward. Everything's going to be done right in our seats. We're all going to pray together. And you want to make Jesus your Lord. Would you just raise your hand if you're here this morning, anybody? Thank you. Awesome. Yeah, cool. It's great. It's the best decision you'll ever make. If I could pass this microphone around to people who have given their heart to the Lord and see what God has delivered us from, the sin, the junk, the ugliness, it's beautiful. Not our sins, but what God has done. Can we all pray this prayer of dedication? The Lord says if we confess Jesus with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we'd be saved. John says if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is not a formulaic prayer. It's not a prayer that saves you. It's what you, when you say it in your heart, join in your life to Christ. And all of us need to dedicate. All of us need to recommit our life to the Lord. Can we repeat this? If you will. Heavenly Father, I come before You. I'm in need of grace. I've messed up and I've sinned. Forgive me, I pray. I believe You sent Jesus and He died for me and You rose Him from the dead. And I call Him my Lord this morning. Start that relationship with me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen.